My birthday is a long way away, but there is something that has come out that's caught my eye, and it's probably caught your eye too. There's something that has been talked about that's coming out, and it's made me think about it a ton. Okay, so I've asked for it for Christmas. I've asked for it for my birthday. It's something that I want so, so bad. I've studied it. Some of you guys have probably studied it. You've probably looked online. You've seen pictures. You've seen videos. This is a thing. Okay. It's a thing that is full of, it has got the newest apps. It's got an unbelievable camera on it. It's a thing. Like, guys, I'm telling you, I've not been able to sleep because of this thing. It has kept me up. I've been looking at it anytime I can. You guys know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the iPhone 3G. Is this what you're talking about? iPhone 3G? Now, this thing is literally what I dreamt about. Okay, I was alive. Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. When the original iPhone came out, you were like three. I remember being in high school and watching the news. I was so excited for this thing coming out. It was going to change the world, and I wanted one so bad. And I couldn't get one. I finally, later on in life, I got an iPhone 3G, and I thought it was the greatest thing. Every year for the new iPhone would come out, I'd be like, oh, I want one. That's going to change my life forever. That will make me happy. I'll be everything. I'll be cool. I'll have access to everything. Oh, if I had that, my life would be set. Have you thought this for an iPhone? I did. And is it true? Yes. No, it's not true. Because why? When I talked about this thing that I'd wanted and I'd researched and I'd looked about, you guys all thought about the iPhone X, the 10th generation. 10 years later, you guys are looking at this thing that right now, if you've seen stuff that's come out, it costs $1,000 for the lowest model. Okay? You know what's awesome about the thing that I desired more than anything else in the world? You know how much you can get this for right now? eBay, you can get it for 10 bucks. Right there, 10 bucks. May not be the greatest one in the world, but hey, you can get an iPhone for 10 bucks. If you don't have one and you're like, oh, that'll make my life. Right here, guys. It's got a 2-megapixel camera. I'm telling you, man, this is the 16 gigabyte version. You're going to have more space than you could ever dream of. More space than you could ever dream of. Guys, this thing was the object of my desire. This thing consumed me. This thing is what convinced me that if I had this, I'd have everything. And guys, what is this? I think like 7, 8, 9 years later, it's way better. We long for it more. This is worthless. This thing that I desired so much and I made my life, it's worth nothing now. 10 bucks. We're going through this series about our identity, your identity, asking this question, who are you? The question we ask of ourselves, who am I? Who am I? Am I what I want? Am I the newest iPhone? Am I my newest clothes? Am I the stuff that I want for my birthday that consumes me, that I think is my life? Am I what I love? Am I what I eat? Am I what I feel? Am I what I want? Does that define me? It consumes me. And so does what consume me define me? This series, we're looking at our identity. We're looking at where our identity lies. And so last week, we talked about all of these things. We look for identity in everything else except for where our true identity lies. And so the rest of this series, we're going to look at some of these things. Today, we're going to look at desire, how we tend to be identified by what we desire. And if we live in that, if we live our entire lives for our desires, where is that going to lead us? It's not going to lead us to a place of satisfaction or godliness. Here's what I want to say to frame this morning. We desire to be happy, but God designed us. God designed you to be holy. We desire to be happy. God designed us to be holy. Those can happen in tandem, but more often than not, we seek our own happiness at the expense of the holiness of God. And we're going to look at some of that this morning. And so last week, we answered that question, who am I? And we talked about what happens when we live in a false identity, it leads to insecurity. When we live in our true identity, we have security, and our true identity is in Jesus Christ. And if you weren't here last week, we went through a ton of scripture. You should ask a friend or a leader about it. And we looked at these scriptures that say, because of who God is and what he's done for us, this is who you are. Not who you think you are, not who others think you are. You are a child of God, redeemed by God because of what Jesus did on the cross. And so what God has designed and redeemed you to be is his child. And so today we're going to look at what happens if we tend to be living outside of God's design, but more a slave to our desires, what happens. If you got your Bibles, open up to Genesis 3. We're going to start near the beginning. We looked some at God creating the world last week in Genesis 1 and how we, at the end of Genesis 1, God made man and we are made in his image. And we're going to then look at a little bit later in the story. This is Adam and Eve. And this is where the entire story of scripture changes, right at the beginning. And it's changed our lives, but there's something greater that can change our lives too. Genesis 3, 1 through 5, here's what it says. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you'll not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Here's the first thing that happens with our desires. Our desires make us question God's direction. Our desires, the enemy uses those desires to then put doubt in us that make us question who God is, what he said, and his best for your life. And Satan, the first question of the Bible, and the first thing we hear from Satan in the scriptures is, did God really say that? It's not like this, like, super devilish thing where we think, like, Satan's like, oh, you're off, you're evil, you're terrible. He just comes in slightly and just goes, did he say that really? And he uses this desire where they're in the garden and everything's good and they've got all of these trees, anything they could ever want. They could have any fruit of any tree. They can hang with each other. God is in the garden with them. And then just this little desire of, well, don't you want that? That thing you can't have. Doesn't that look good? And Satan uses that same question, maybe not exactly, but uses desires today to make us doubt and question God's direction in our life too. But don't you want that? Wouldn't God want you to be happy? Don't you think that God's a good God and he wants what you want? At the beginning, it sounds so innocent, but what it does is it makes us question God's direction. And the enemy is using that same tactic today. We think in these ideas of I want, I need. There's a difference between a need and a want. God has your needs in mind. God has designed you, is your provider, your protector, and he wants to give to you the things to fill the needs that you have in his timing. But a lot of times we confuse these needs and wants, and then it all becomes, we think all of our wants are our needs, and we just be consumed by ourselves. I want, I want, I want, until that becomes our identity. And then we just get confused in this world and we seek identity in our desires and it becomes all about us. We become self-consumed. And we go through this world instead of just glorifying God and loving others, we seek to be glorified ourselves. And so instead of seeking God, we desire to be God. Instead of seeking to glorify God, we seek the glory that God gets. And it's the same thing that the serpent does here with Adam and Eve. He says, you'll not surely die. You'll be like God. And guys, it's the same thing. We want this feeling of acceptance, of power, of knowledge that doesn't have to seem bad at the beginning. But when it's all about us and self-consuming, it goes against God's direction because he's good and he has your best in mind. Not only does it go against God's direction, we also live in a culture that our desires are making us question God's design of us. You guys have grown up in a culture where there is gender confusion everywhere. It's not just kind of this little thing that's talked about. It is permeating, big word for, it is all in your school. It is in your neighborhoods. It is not this just crazy conversation. It's conversation that kids around you and families around you are having. Thinking that this feeling that somebody has, hey, God made me to be a man, but I think I feel like a woman or vice versa. These desires make us question God's design. Does that mean that your feeling's wrong? No, but we want to help you know how to deal with that feeling. That doesn't mean that your desires are now your identity. Because when we do that, we're not living in God's best. Desire doesn't have to be bad. I mean, you think of, there are desires, some desires are inherently bad. Some desires you can look at immediately and go, okay, yeah, that's not a good idea. But some are good. And it's okay to have, hey, I'm hungry. That's a desire. Hey, I'd like to be married someday. That's a great desire. But when that becomes everything and we live for that, we just live for our desires and in our desires, then we're not living in God's best. If that becomes everything, then we've missed it. There's a book that C.S. Lewis wrote called The Screwtape Letters. Anybody read The Screwtape Letters? A few? If you don't know what it is, there's a guy named C.S. Lewis who wrote Chronicles of Narnia, and he writes some stuff about theology too. And he writes this book that's a conversation of, it's fiction, but it's really a demon talking about how he's trying to work in the lives of some of humans. And one of the things that he says in there is, man, if I can just distract them, then I've won. I don't have to make them bad. I don't have to make them go kill people. But if I can just distract them from the goodness of God and make them to believe that they're comfortable, that they're okay, that they're better than others, then if I can make them a slave to their desires, then I've won. If we live for our desires and in our desires and that becomes God, then we are not living in God's best, and it distracts us from God's best. When we think that our happiness is the most important, we'll never be happy outside of God. Nothing in this world will satisfy, and most of us know that, but yet we still live to seek to be satisfied from it. Our desires will never satisfy. The story continues, and it's going to lead us into point two. Picking up in verse 6. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. Point number two is, our desires lead to dissatisfaction. Our desires lead to dissatisfaction because the problem with desire is it's never enough. We long for it. We want it. We finally then get this thing, but maybe there's something else that comes along the way. Maybe we realize, well, now that I have it, it's not everything I thought that it was. It isn't making me happy. It isn't filling me with this feeling that I thought having it would. We see it happen with Adam and Eve. They finally eat of this tree. Oh, I'm going to be like God. This is going to be good. This isn't bad for me. And then immediately they realize, uh-oh, something's not right. My desire now is to be clothed. My desire now is to be not ashamed of where I am now. And then we see the rest of the story continued. They have to then seek all through the scriptures. They have to seek to go be more and build a tower, not Adam and Eve, but humanity. Because they're not satisfied outside of God. When they seek, our desires are never satisfied. And what they do is they lead to dissatisfaction because it's never enough. If we are identified by what we desire, then we have to go for what satisfies. If we don't live identified in who God is and satisfied in Him, but we live identified by our desires, we have to go for what's going to satisfy us. We think that all of these things or all of these people, that's what's going to give us happiness. That's what's going to give us life. And you're just going to spend your whole life pursuing that. I mean, the same is true for all of us. And there's a list here that I've got, and some of this may relate to you. And the list, we could spend the rest of the time going through things for all of us in the room because we think that it's going to make us happy. This relationship will make me happy. This grade, this position on the team, this feeling, going to this college, being married, having kids, having the right job, having X amount of money in a bank account someday. The list goes on and on and on. Because guys, we're Adam and Eve. A lot of times you can blame them. Why did they eat that? Why did they ruin the world forever? Man, we do the same thing. Where God said, hey, I've given you this. I've created this for you. This is good. Walk in this way. And we go, ooh, I think that looks good. I mean, I know this might be good for me. I know that this is going to be better if I go in this way, but man, that looks fun. I feel like that's going to make me a man. I feel like, man, if I could just do that, I'd be happy. And so we run from God's best. And we think it's way more fun. We think football is more fun and can make you successful. We think that if we have the cutest date for the dance, the most handsome guy to be on our arm, then we'll have everything we could ever want. It seems fun. It seems exciting. It feels good. We look good for other people. When we live a slave to our desires, it doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but it's leading us from God's best. So some of you, most of you guys saw the cake here, right? Who would eat this right now?
Me.
Most hands. Oh, you're closest to it? You're the one to eat it? Oh, you're just jumping in there. You're just assuming that's yours, right? So here we've got this amazing, luscious, beautiful piece of cake. Look at that. I mean, guys, I don't know if in the back you can totally see this. So I'm going to just describe it slowly. We've got four layers of amazing German chocolate goodness. All right? Why is it stale? I can smell it, the sugar, the icing. I mean, you can probably taste it right there out in the audience. You can taste it. Stop describing it. I mean, look at this. Even looking at it, you can just imagine that taste in your mouth. You can imagine how it's going to make you feel. You can imagine. Did anybody not eat breakfast this morning? Okay, yeah. A lot of people, you're just like, dude, I'm just stinking hungry. You could have baby food and I'd eat it. Stop talking about it. Well, hey, you don't get to have it because I'm up here and I get to teach. I'm going to get to have it. So here's this little piece of cake. It's a good bite right there. You'll still have it. Wow. Oh, God. Here's the deal. That. It's so good. And like one bite's not enough. I'm just going to go on. Go. Amazing. Guys. You got to get you some of this cake. It is good. Because here's the deal. Here's what we all know, because we've gone through life. When you're at a party, and you're seeing this cake, and you're hungry, or you're awake, and you're just like, oh, I want it, I want it, I want it, I want it. It seems like the best thing for you to have right there. It seems like if you just had even a bite of it, or a whole thing, whatever it is, then it would just satisfy everything you've got. But we all know from eating cake that if I ate this whole cake right now, I would crash and burn later. I mean, think about it. Like, that's a huge stinking piece of cake. I in about an hour, I would have this huge sugar high, and then I would tank. I would feel terrible. What if I ate the whole cake? Okay? Not just a piece, but what if I ate the entire cake? I would feel terrible. So guys, come back for a sec. The deal with desire is at first, it seems like if you had it, it would completely satisfy you. But guys, that doesn't satisfy. We always feel bad afterwards. It's never enough. We're going to be hungry again. There's always a better piece of cake. And guys, if you ate the whole cake, or you fully dove in to sin or your desire, it would leave you miserable. And the other thing that a lot of you have already been telling me is when we just give in to our desire and we finally cave, like, because at first we can be like, oh, no, 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 I know that's not good for me. Oh, yeah. Do I want it? I want it. I want it. I want it. I think I'll have some of that. Uh-huh. No, I shouldn't have it. I shouldn't have it. Oh, but everyone else is. It's right there. Okay. Ah! And you just dive in just like I did. But what happens is when we give in to our desires like that, it's messy. What you all see that I don't see, I can feel it, but I can't see it, is I've got cake all over my face. It's in my nose. Guys, when we give in to our desires, it usually turns really messy. It seems good at first. It tastes good at first. But what we need is people in our lives. Y'all stay with me. What we need is people in our lives who can look at us and be a mirror to us and go, Harrison, man, you got stuff on your face. And not only that, but if you keep eating that, that is going to wreck your life. You're going to feel terrible this afternoon. And cake is one thing. But when we indulge in sin and our desires and think we're identified in that, then it can absolutely wreck our life. And guys, we have got to have people in our lives that can love us enough to just go, dude, you got cake up your nose. And what I mean by that is, I know I do. We need people who can sit with us, and even just like you guys are going, hey, no, it's still there. Hey, it's still present in your life. And it's not like you're trying to fix me. It's not like you're trying to go, hey, I'm trying to make you a better human by getting this junk off your face. I'm trying to make you a better Christian by getting this junk off your face. But just go, hey, man, that's not your best. I want to help you live your best. And I'm going to sit with you long enough until we can help get all the cake off your face. And we can sit with you long enough when you walk by cake again, you don't have to just dive face first. So that you're not a slave to your desires. They're never satisfied, guys. Enough. And the final point is our desires can lead to destruction. Genesis 3:8 says this. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. What doesn't sound like much destruction? It's not that bad. Had a little fruit. Had a little fun. And now they're just hiding a little bit. Well, the destruction came in the relationship between God and man. The division that happened between God and man that changed our lives forever. At one point, God walked and dwelt with them among the garden. And because they gave in to their desire, it divided them in a relationship with God forever. And the same can be true of us. When you become consumed with consuming, then it can consume you. It can eat you alive. And defining your identity by what you desire can lead to addiction. And I'm just telling you this right now, guys, to warn you, because it's a huge part of my story. It's a huge part of my life. Most of you guys know that. But some of those things, what seems like a sweet tooth right now, oh, I just want a little piece of chocolate. Just want some cake. It's not that bad. Can lead into a huge addiction of gluttony. It can be a huge problem of just overeating. And it's one that I have. And it's one that we kind of just go, ah, it's not that bad. But guys, like, food is sometimes a god to me. Or maybe you're on the opposite end. What seems at first like a diet can turn into be deadly. When you try to forsake food so much that you begin to waste away, anorexic. You just treat your body in a way because you think, oh no, if I just had this feeling, if I looked just like this, then I'd be good. What at first seems like curiosity online can be costly to your life, to your relationships, to your future marriage. Guys, our desires can lead to our own destruction of our lives, and we need people around us who love us enough to go, hey, dude, you got cake on your face. Hey, dude, that's not God's best for you. Not because we're trying to fix you, but we're trying to help you live for God's best. So guys, right now, this morning, just a warning. If you are dabbling, man, flee. If you are just kind of playfully playing with sin and you think it's not that bad, guys, it may not be that bad, but it could wreck your life and the lives of many people you love. And then even more than that, like good desires, bad desires, if you desire anything more than God, if you seek anything more than God and you lose it, it will devastate you. So if you become identified in your desire and you finally have it or you want it so bad and it doesn't happen, it can crush you in the same way. Guys, it's called idolatry. Anything outside of God, anything we worship that's not God is called having an idol, an idolatry, and worshiping something. And a lot of times we can be our own idols. And the crazy thing is you might get what you wish for and be destroyed because of it. You might finally attain popularity. You might finally attain these great grades or this job or this girlfriend or whatever it is. And then you'll see that there's no life there. I mean, like, we all know the feeling when you've got your new phone and you're hanging around and you trip and it's like, ah, and your stomach just goes like, and it all turns into slow motion and you watch it like flip in the air. Even worse when you're getting out of the car and you like forget to take your seatbelt off and you're like, I don't know if anybody does that, but your phone just goes flying and you watch it just like, shh, and it's like this, like random rock spot in the parking lot. And you just watch it face down. Pah. And immediately, anybody, whatever phone you have, you go, oh, did it shatter? Oh, is my life over? Am I ruined? Am I going to have bloody thumbs for the rest of my life because I continue to text? Guys, when this becomes our life, it seems like a stupid analogy, but when this becomes our life and then we lose it, it flings out of control, it lands face down and it shatters, then a lot of times our lives can be shattered. And guys, it can be good desires. It doesn't have to be bad. My wife and I, a few years ago, we just really wanted to have kids. You guys have seen my kids. God is amazing and it's a huge blessing. But for a long time, we couldn't have kids. And finally, the Lord blessed us with some fruit in my wife's womb. And we were so excited and telling people. And we thought it was the greatest thing. And then we had a miscarriage. And if you don't know what a miscarriage is, that means that the baby died inside of her tummy. You're not kids. We don't have to say tummy. In her womb. But the baby wasn't there anymore. And even a good desire, this thing that we were like, man, I want to be a dad. I want to watch my wife be a mom. Having kids is not a bad thing. Having a family is not a bad thing. But what was the bad thing is that became God. I wanted it so much. My wife and I wanted it so much that we were mad at God when it didn't happen. We were mad at God when it got taken away. And is it okay to be mad at God? Yes. Is it okay to be disappointed? Yes. But I was shattered because my life was in having a kid and not identified in Jesus Christ. My desire is what drove me, not my God. And so what do you desire? Is it to be on the cheer team? Is it to make Highland Park football or varsity football someday? So you're doing everything you can, posing in those shots like this because you're a man. What do you desire? Having the nicest house? And then your dad loses his job and you've got to move to an apartment and you're embarrassed to invite anybody over? When your desires become everything, they become your God. And when you lose it, it will be devastating. When you become identified in your desires and you give into them so much, it can lead to the destruction of you and anyone around you. But guys, the end of the story is that God loves you so much that he came for you. What God didn't do is just go, hey, you guys blew it. You guys messed this all up. I gave you everything. I told you how you could walk. And are you kidding me? So we think God usually is going to respond to us in those moments. But what we see God do is pursue his people. What God does in Genesis 1:9, just one verse after, is it says, the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? The Lord took the first step. The Lord pursued him and said, Adam. I mean, that's an act of love. Adam, I love you. Where are you? I'm not mad at you. I want relationship with you. There are consequences because you acting in your desires this way, but I love you and it's not over. He pursued Adam and he pursues us. And how he does that is later on, Genesis 3:15. There's a little verse that says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to the serpent. And between you and your offspring and her offspring, he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. This is the first place we see the gospel. Scholars have looked at this and say this points to Jesus. God in the garden, in the first act where man gives into his desires and flees the goodness of God, God in his goodness and grace says, I'm running after you. I'm running after you because I love you. I'm running after you and I'm going to send not just something to make life better. I'm going to send myself. I'm going to send my son Jesus to die for you so that you don't have to be a slave to your desires, but you can walk in the goodness and righteousness of God and we can walk in holiness. We desire to be happy, but God designed us to be holy. There's a verse that says, be holy as I am holy. We get to be holy because God gave himself holy for us, fully. Gave everything he had just because he wanted to be reconciled to you so that you didn't have to find satisfaction in your desires, but you could find satisfaction in God himself. We desire to be happy. God designed us and died for us to be holy. And so, guys, desire's everywhere. Are they always bad? No. Desire's not a bad thing, but it can be, especially if we make it our God. And so the thing I want to ask you today, as you leave, is are you going to desire the apple or the author? Cheesy analogy, but I hope it sticks with you. Adam and Eve went after the apple, and so do we, so do I. It's stuck in my pocket all day. I'm serious. Are you going after the apple or the author? Are you going after the cake or the creator? Because, guys, neither of these will satisfy. And most of the time, I live my life thinking that my desires are what drive me, and that's going to satisfy me. The holiness of God is where satisfaction is, and he has invited us into that. Because of his son, Jesus, I pray that you'll rest in that. That's who you are. If you believe in him, that's who you are. That's who he's redeemed you to be. We want to help you believe in it and walk in it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for Genesis 3, a story many of us have heard a ton of times that we can just breeze over and go, yeah, I heard that. But Lord, we live in a culture of materialism that's run by money and sex and passion and desire and things and people. And we think that if we just had all of that, we would have a life. But Lord, we know because of the truth that's in your word and because we've experienced it ourselves, that life outside of you does not exist. True life, true satisfaction. And so Lord, help us not be a slave to our desires. Help us surrender to our Savior, to believe that we are your children, that we are redeemed, that we are your masterpiece. God, we love you. Thank you that you first loved us. Thank you that your presence dwells in us and we can be reconciled to you. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all have an awesome day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.